No scientist wants to be a laughingstock, but to get at the truth, good science has to take risks. João Moguejo has been rocking the physics community with an idea some people want to dismiss as ridiculous. Now, thanks to some supporting evidence, no one's laughing anymore. Moguejo's idea challenges one of Einstein's most sacred precepts, the constancy of the speed of light. Moguejo's new book is called Faster Than the Speed of Light. He says a varying speed of light makes sense of the universe as we know it. He told Steve Paulson when he first came up with the idea.
It was rather strange. It's not exactly the prototype situation in which you feel inspired about anything. In fact, I was terribly hungover from a party the night before. And it was raining, it was quite miserable. And this is not exactly the time when you think you might get a good idea. But that's exactly what happened. I had been wondering about many problems in cosmology before. And it just struck me that if you were to break this one rule, the constancy of the speed of light, you could solve these problems. I don't know, it's difficult to describe why is it that the constancy of the speed of light is such a dogma, but it is a dogma for physicists.
What are the problems that you were trying to solve? What's wrong with this old principle that light always travels at the same velocity?
There is nothing wrong with that. The problem is with the Big Bang theory, when you combine that with a model of the universe in which there is a moment of beginning, the creation of the universe, the Big Bang in this case. As soon as the universe has a finite age at any given time, if you have a speed limit, as is the case of the speed of light, and the speed limit is a constant, then you find that essentially anything is limited in how far it can travel in the universe. And the younger the universe is, of course, the shorter the range of any kind of information passing around. And the problem is that you cannot explain lots of things about the universe. You just cannot explain them because you have this limitation. You fragmented the universe into these disconnected regions, which are completely unknown to each other because they had never been able to communicate. So there's a number of problems. It's about 10 very serious problems in cosmology, which really, the tip of the iceberg, is just this lack of ability for information to travel around the universe because there is a speed limit and there's a finite time since the beginning. I know it sounds completely obvious, but this was really the revelation. Break this rule that the speed of light, the speed limit is a constant, and you can unify the whole universe. You can bring everything together, and you can really open up the doors for solving these problems.
Well, as I understand it, there's one basic problem, which is the best estimates now are that the Big Bang happened about 15 billion years ago, and yet with the most powerful telescopes, you can look in one direction and basically look to 10 billion light years. And then you look in the opposite direction and you see another 10 billion light years, and the numbers just don't add up.
That is correct. I mean, that's just one way of picturing this problem. Essentially, you're looking at two corners of the universe when you do that. And you look in these two corners of the universe, and they have exactly the same properties. They have the same type of galaxies. They're expanding the same way. They're embedded in a sea of radiation, which is exactly the same temperature. And that's the kind of thing you'd like to explain. You know, when you say things should add up, you mean you'd like this sameness, this oneness of the universe to result from contact. And then you find that these two areas of the universe, these two corners, have never seen each other because really there hasn't been enough time for anything traveling at the speed of light or slower than light, if the speed of light is a constant, to travel between one and the other. And this is exactly what doesn't add up. And what this means is essentially you cannot explain why everything is the same via a process like a hot object and a cold object coming together and acquiring the same temperature, or throwing milk inside coffee and stirring it and eventually everything becomes the same. You can't have a process like that. So these two things look exactly the same for very mysterious reasons. In fact, you cannot explain that within the current Big Bang theory of the universe.
So in your theory, shortly after the Big Bang, or whatever the beginning of the universe was, the speed of light was actually faster than it is now.
It was much higher. Yeah, exactly. There's many scenarios, but in one of them, the speed of light could actually be infinite initially. And that's actually one of the favorite scenarios by some people, not me. I mean, we don't know anyway. But you just need a much higher speed of light at the moment of the Big Bang.
One thing that I've read about your theory is that you suggest that there might be special corridors where the speed of light could travel especially fast. And if humans somewhere down the road were to develop the technology for advanced space traveling and really could travel at great speeds, then that might be the way to explore the universe.
Well, that's the kind of thing where things will change dramatically if you go beyond our limited technological experience. I mean, of course, at some level, relativity is better than Newtonian theory, you know, in some extreme situations. And if the varying speed of light theory is proved right, it's the same story. There will be situations, very extreme situations, in which everything will be different. And one of them is exactly this issue of space travel. Space travel is the kind of thing that's completely impossible on practical terms if you accept the theory of relativity. If the speed of light is a speed limit, that's a constant, well, you might think light is very fast, it isn't. If you put everything on the scale of the universe and on the short time scale of our lives, then really it's impossible to travel around the universe, given that the speed of light is a speed limit. What we found is that in varying speed of light theories, there are these corridors you mentioned, we call them fast tracks. So they are solutions to this theory, where the speed of light is much higher. And this means the speed of limit is still the speed of light, but that's been raised along these corridors. And this means exactly that you could travel around the universe. So that's one of the many aspects in which, at a very fundamental level, varying speed of light theories and relativity do differ.
So what kind of response did you get when you first started talking to other physicists about the speed of light? I mean, challenging this basic idea that maybe it's not constant after all.
Well, many people just laughed hysterically. They couldn't believe someone was saying something so stupid. And I think it's it's an understandable attitude. I recall this was at a time when all we were trying to solve was this horizon problem I mentioned to you in cosmology. And, you know, you might think that's not good enough. I mean, that's not such a big problem considering what you're about to give up.
The horizon such problem being thing. The sort of that the universe is homogeneous all around.
Yeah, exactly. So that initial reaction in some sense is justified. I mean, that's really not a strong enough problem to demolish the whole of 20th century physics, you might think. Things have changed, but the initial reaction was very negative. As I said, it was either disparaging or people just not want to have anything to do with it. And things have changed in the last few years. We're solving many more problems. We're really connecting with many other branches of physics. And everywhere you go, it does seem that the varying speed of light could actually be the missing link in many of these things which people have puzzled for years and years. The reaction has changed, I think, because of that. Also, there's some observational evidence for varying speed of light theories, which I think made people basically stop laughing. As soon as you have some observational evidence, no matter how crazy the theory, you just have to live with it because it's the way the world is.
What's the strongest bit of evidence so far for your theory?
Well, there's various. I think, to my mind, the strongest one is you want this variable to be rigid at late times. But you can never make it totally rigid if you make it vary by so much at the beginning of the universe, like go from infinite to finite or, you know, change by such a big factor. So you always predict some kind of echo effect in the late life in the universe. You predict that the speed of light should not be varying by much nowadays, but would still be varying by a little bit over the last, say, 7 billion years or 10 billion years. And what some astronomers have been doing is observing something called spectral lines, which is basically the way light is absorbed by clouds very, very far away near these objects called quasars. They're very, very far. And because they're very, very far, we're seeing them in the past. We're seeing them when they emitted the light, which has then been traveling for billions of years until it reached us. So we're taking a photograph of the past. And these guys have devised a technique for measuring the speed of light, among other things, as it was at the time these absorption lines were formed. And they've seen, indeed, not big changes in the speed of light, of course, because they're not looking at things that happened during the Big Bang, but they're seeing these residual, these echo effects, which we've predicted.
Suppose your theory, the variable speed of light, is proven right sometime in the future. How will physics change then?
It'll change very radically in the sense that at a very fundamental level, our concepts of the universe, of space and time and everything will have been changed. It won't change on practical terms in terms of, you know, the technology you use nowadays. In the same way that, in fact, you still use Newton's theory, although we know that Einstein's theory is a better approximation to nature than Newton's theory, you still use Newton's theory every time you launch a rocket or a satellite. So, you know, things are always an improvement over existing theories, which is another way of paying respect to our previous physicists. So it's to question their ideas, but then also make sure that the new ideas you propose reduce in some suitable approximation to the old ideas as well. I mean, this is basically the level of change we're talking about.
João Magejo is the author of the book called Faster Than the Speed of Light. Steve Paulson spoke with him.